Hello and a warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. Sadly, no game again this week to go over, so instead we've got our half-term report, a preview of Saturday's game at FC Edinburgh, and a rundown of your favourite celebration sweeties. Yes, warm welcome to the Blue Tune Podcast, the final episode of 2022. As we approach the festive period, we are going to take our usual two-week break before the new year. I am Colin Byers, with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. Still got the chills, still got the cold.
Aye, it's absolutely Baltic in Peterhead. Our road is like an ice rink. So, no venturing far today. The World Cup is on. That is my plan sorted.
I guess it would be a surprise, really, that there's a lot of games that are off on Saturday, particularly the Peterhead game, obviously, was the one that we were hoping was going to be on, because it was a big game. But I think you had said in the group chat on your way home, 5 o'clock on Friday night, you drove past the stadium, so it was all clear, but it was about -3 at that time, so it was always going to get colder, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, terrific effort from everyone to try and get the pitch cleared. And to be honest, did a fantastic job, unfortunately, just with the temperature on Friday night. Probably the temperatures that we've had previously in the week as well, when the snow lay. Obviously, the pitch is frozen, so they've cleared it. But with the temperature being -3, -4, it only got worse as the night went on. Unfortunately, I think you were fighting a losing battle, and I think it was going to be very difficult to get the game ahead. Thankfully, they called in a pitch inspection nice and early, so people travelling up from Clyde as well didn't have to make that unnecessary trip. Frustrating that the game didn't go ahead, but I can completely understand where the officials are coming from.
And there's a safety issue with it as well. It's not just, you know, clearing the pitch, but it's the bits round about it. It's the car park, it's the streets and the roads in and around the stadium as well. You want to make sure everybody's as safe as possible. Unfortunate, it just means that it's another game we're going to have to play in a midweek at some point, but it would have been a good game. I think a good game that we were all sort of anticipating going to and looking forward to going to.
Yeah, it would have been Davies' first game at home at Balmoor as well. As you said, there is a safety aspect as well. It's not just a case of, is the pitch playable? Slightly off top, but Motherwell, their game was cancelled at the weekend as well. Pitch was fine, but it's the stadium, the surrounding areas, it's everything that goes with it. So when the referee is also doing a pitch inspection, he's also taking into play the safety aspects around the stadium as well. But yeah, it would have been a good game. I think it was one that both teams would have really liked to have gone ahead with, if it had been possible. Both teams wanting the 3 points for different reasons. And as you said, it'll be a game that we'll need to play in the new year at some point, probably a midweek game. And that could work to our favour as well, slightly.
And I think as well, as soon as a pitch inspection is called, generally speaking, that does mean it's going to go one way and not the other. And there's not many games that you get a pitch inspection and it gets the go-ahead.
Yeah, normally when they ask for a pitch inspection, their mind's almost made up that they know the game's going to be off, but they just need that confirmation from the referee. And I am for it. I don't think there's any point in the referee getting there at 12:30, 12:45, and then going, actually, this game can't be played, and then everybody's travelled up and they've travelled from different parts of the country for any game. So, yeah, once a pitch inspection is called, 9 times out of 10, it normally means that the game won't go ahead for various reasons.
Yep, so we'll just wait and see when that one gets scheduled. As I said, it probably will be into the new year, mid-January possibly, and see. Obviously, that will affect the crowd if it is a Tuesday night. Obviously, you won't get many Clyde supporters coming up, but you know, it's a game we're going to have to take advantage of when it does eventually come around, because unfortunately, the Kelty and Queen of the South game did go ahead. Kelty did win it 2-1, two very late goals, two goals in the last 10 minutes, which does now mean, even with a game in hand, we are 16 points behind 8th place Kelty. They're now on the same points as Queen of the South in 23. And I think you said last week that you felt 8th was out of reach. I guess more so now.
If I thought I was out of reach last week, I certainly do this week. it's unfortunate, but like I said last week, I think we've just got to focus on our position. We're now in a shootout now with Clyde for that ninth position. And even then, that's not a given. You know, had Saturday's game gone ahead, all hypothetical, but had you lost it, it then becomes 5 points with Kelty's win 16. So there's a lot of permutations, but we've just got to take each game as it comes. It's so cliche, but it's a new management team. It's one game at a time. You've just got to try and put a run together somewhere.
Yeah, as I said, it's almost the worst case scenario is that our game hasn't gone ahead. Kelty's also won. Opens up the gap even bigger, and on paper it looks worse. From the players' kind of perspective, from the fans' kind of perspective, it probably does mean that that's it. It's done and dusted. It's now a battle for ninth.
Yeah, I would think so. I think you know, sitting here as we record today, I think it's highly unlikely that we're going to be anywhere near getting the points total that Kelty's got to try and catch them on eighth. You know, 16 points. It's six wins effectively that you've got to get more than Kelty in what would then become the second half of the season, which, you know, is a very tall order for any team. So, yeah, I think we're now in a shootout with Clyde, and that's why I think when the rearranged game does come around, it'll be even bigger when we do play them than it was, you know, what would have been yesterday.
Yeah, we'll come on to the sort of point scenarios a little bit later on when we come on to the cover of the Edinburgh game this coming weekend. Hopefully that it does go ahead and we don't have another Saturday with no football. But we'll just get straight into it. You specifically requested everybody give them your celebrations, favourites, the lists. I'm guessing this all came about because you had a discussion with somebody. You didn't get the answer you were looking for, so you searched for somebody else to give you the answer you're looking for.
Yeah, well, to compound my misery, I actually took the debate into work. it turns out that I'm in the minority. It seems that Bounty is quite a popular sweet amongst people in Peterhead. It compounded my misery to find out that I'm in the minority. There was also a tweet yesterday. It was, can't remember, it was an account put up, what should be in the bin? Also, my natural reaction is Bounty. So I've got a strong distaste for them. We did get quite a few replies. Some folk are for Bounty, some are against. So those who are against it have gone up in my estimation.
It's interesting. I've got the some of the selection, let's say, a bit of a pun, there you go, of the ones that have come in. There are a few that have put Bounty at the top and a few that have put Bounty at the bottom. It seems to be quite a Marmite thing. You either like them or you dinna. And it's quite interesting to see that some of the ones that are at the bottom as well. So I'll go through some of them. Jason Argo, he's gone with, well, his selection is Maltesers 1, Not Fuss 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7, and Bounty 8. So he's obviously got a favourite, and it'll say a massive dislike for Bounty.
Yeah, can't argue it. Bounty's at the bottom. It was a like for me.
Scott Reid, Twix 1, Malteser, then Milky Way, then Mars, Galaxy Caramel, and then he says he doesn't like the Snickers or the Bounty. So they're at the bottom.
Yeah, I can sort of live with that. Bounty, again, it's at the bottom, so it gets a like for me.
Chloe Warrender, Malteser, Twix, Galaxy Caramel, Milky Way, Mars, Snickers, Bounty.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that one. Yeah, I like that choices.
Aki, Galaxy Caramel, Mars, Twix, Galaxy, Malteser, Milky Way, Snickers, and Bounty in the bin. So... that's the four that I've put in, like the Bounty is the bomb. Next one, Carlin's put in Malteser, Galaxy Caramel, Galaxy, Milky Way, Bounty, Twix, Mars, Snickers. Aaron,
a Bounty above a Mars. Wow.
Well, yeah, there's a few. This next thing's here. Aaron, Maltesers, Galaxy, Bounty, Snickers, Galaxy Caramel, Mars, Twix, and Milky Way. Barry Evans, Maltesers, Galaxy Caramel, Snickers, Twix, Mars, Bounty, Milky Way. Dodie Buchan, Galaxy Caramel, Maltesers, Twix, Bounty, Mars, Milky Way, and Snickers. And finally, Stuart Fraser, Malteser, Galaxy Caramel, Twix, Bounty, Galaxy, Snickers, Mars, and Milky Way. So there's a lot of folk who are putting Mars, Snickers, and Milky Way towards the bottom.
Controversial. Yeah, I thought they'd have been higher up, but then I also thought Bounty would be bottom of most people's choices, and that was proved wrong.
It's an interesting take. So obviously quite a lot of folk with that selection there have put Maltesers at the top. So the vast majority put Maltesers at the top, a couple of Twix, Galaxies and things like that. But I did, that kind of jump out to me, that the Mars and the Milky Way are at the bottom.
Yeah, actually, there's a few folk at work that they weren't keen on Mars and Milky Way. It's around there. But, they like bounties, and that was near the bottom, the Mars and Milky Way. So, yeah, it seems to be it's one of them topics that you could ask a heap of folk, and you'll get completely different answers, which is the best part.
See, for me, a Milky Way is quite a nothing kind of sweetie, really.
Pretty plain.
Aye.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing.
But you're a Malteser lover, so you aren't near your top. So.
Aye. So the Milky Way's kind of thing you had when you were a bairn. That was the treat you got when you was a kid.
So it wouldn't have been your top three now.
So it wouldn't have been, no. I did notice a couple of folk were trying to get us, I don't know if the word, trying to get us to get into the issue of the roses and things like that. As well, we're not touching that. that might be a subject for later on if we had another game.
However, if we didn't have a game next weekend, it could be the topic of conversation.
Well, the thing is, when we were watching the Strictly Final, we had a box of heroes, and that's another topic altogether, because that's totally different kind of sweeties you get in there as well.
That's good sweeties as well. It's, oh, yes. Aye.
If there's name one that I think folk would dislike in there.
No, that's true.
Maybe the Eclair or something like that might be the one that's at the bottom, but
yeah, that list probably would be Eclair at the bottom for me. We started something else now.
I was about to say that could be something else. So there you go. So you didn't. Well, did you get the responses you were looking for, or are you going to search elsewhere, try and go somewhere else?
No, I'm going to admit defeat. It's been over. It's been nearly a week now. I've been trying to get people to absolutely berate the bounties. It's not quite happened. But I'm glad to see there's people there that like the Galaxies, the Caramels, and the Maltesers. A lot of them near the top. So yeah, I'll admit defeat.
So, as we said, we didn't have a game on Saturday, so how did you kind of spend that day? It ended up for me being quite a sport-orientated kind of day. I watched the Aberdeen Saturday game, then a bit of the darts, then the World Cup third, fourth playoff, a bit more of the darts, and then watched the Strictly final. So it was a good TV day.
pretty much identical, to be fair. Watched Aberdeen Celtic for whether you can call that a spectacle or not. We'll leave that for people to decide. I didn't enjoy it.
It wasn't really much of a game. It was more of a live training session for Celtic.
Yes, correct. It was a live training session. Watched the World Cup third playoff. A daft game, I've got to admit. It seems a pointless game, especially at this stage of the season as well. I know they do it at every tournament with the World Cup, but it just seems so trivial to a third place playoff game when you can pick up injuries and everything. Just seems a load of nonsense. But yeah, I was seeing all the sport coming through in the morning, game off here, game off there, so there was very little to choose from. But yeah, between the World Cup playoff game and the darts, it sort of kept me entertained.
Good to see Alan Souter doing well in the darts as well, especially with 160 finish to win it.
Yeah, he's done well to be fair, Lynn. Good finishes.
And obviously, through the darts were on later last night as well, which was a bit annoying.
Class for the Strictly come down to the final.
I was up late, which is not a good sign. So we were kept really entertained. So no game to kind of to speak of. We did kind of think we will do our midterm. Half-term report, because obviously the Clyde game was going to be the 18th game of the season, and obviously that hasn't happened. We're now obviously going to take a wee break for a couple of weeks, so it'd be good to kind of assess where we're at and how we thought the season has gone. Obviously, if you've been listening to the podcast over the last few months, you'll probably get an idea of how this is going to go. But we've kind of thought we'll try and be as positive as we can and try and pick up some subjects or some topics that we can get a bit of a discussion on. So we've looked at a few things. We looked at the best signing, the poorest signing, the best goal, best moment of the season so far, and our best player of so far this season. We might be clutching at straws for a few of these, but we'll give it a go. So let's start with the first one then. Best signing of the season so far. There has been plenty to pick from, which will probably go in hand in hand with the
best signing category.
Yes, there's a few that have come in, and the poorest signing as well is obviously there's a vast selection for that. For that one, but we'll start with the poorest, the best signing, I should say. Plenty to choose from. Who has been your pick? Have you sort of looked at it and gone, is there anybody that's stood out?
I don't think there's anybody in particular really stood out, if I'm being honest. I would have said up until about a month ago, Tom Ritchie, although the goals that he's conceded, I think he has kept the scoreline down in quite a lot of the games. But up until maybe mid-November, he's just at a bit of a wobble. Probably starts with a Dunfermline game. So he would have been in contention. I think Jack Wilkie, I don't think he's done that bad, to be fair. He's come in, he's tried to do what he's can. So other than that, too, I don't think there really has been a standout candidate, if I'm being brutally honest. And as I said, it was sort of clutching at straws a little bit. But that would be the two that I think would probably just about get pass marks in what has been a very poor season.
You're right. I don't think there's anybody that's really stood out as a fantastic signing. I think Conor O'Keefe, up until his injury, may have been one to kind of be the standout, being pretty consistent, and obviously had his a couple of good games, two or three good games where he was scoring goals as well. Julian Carey as well, I think he started off well, but I think he's just his performance has plateaued a little bit, and he's maybe just kind of going under the radar slightly as well. And then look at somebody like Ryan Strachan again, fairly consistent. Nae nothing spectacular, but nae doing too much wrong. And then look at Michael Hewitt as well, coming in as a loan signing, doing okay. Again, starting off well, but maybe just kind of almost echoing the way that the team have gone. Started off well, started off like a house on fire, but then just sort of fading away, but just that performance haven't been consistent enough.
I think the interesting thing for your comments here is the choice of words, plateaued, okay, nothing brilliant. I think that sort of just generally sums up where we're at the moment as a team. There's nothing spectacular happen, and the things that are going against us, you know, it's what we're own doing. I think that sort of sums up where we're at. The signings with the words okay, plateaued, yeah, probably bang on, to be fair.
And it's a subject that we've mentioned a few times. You know, the amount of players that have come in, you've said that the recruitment just hasn't been good enough, and the fact is that we kind of pick out one or two that have been really good or really consistent tells you all that you need to know.
Yeah, when you consider the amount of players that came in over the summer, and we're now, you know, sitting at the end of December, and you're struggling to pick out at least one that's had a good season. I came to the team, it's a team game, and it's been a poor season, but yeah, you're really struggling to put your case forward for this player to be the best player so far this season. I think there's a lot of players played okay, but, you know, from your ball on the table, playing okay isn't quite going to cut it.
So it comes up to the poorest signing then. Again, of a lot of people that have come in, there could be a few candidates in this one. Where do you sort of see this one going?
Well, for me, it's Paul Dixon. He came in with a vast amount of experience. I really thought this man coming in at the back would slot in along with Jason Brown. It would be a solid back two. They would build on that. It would give us that platform to build on. He was then made captain. And I thought, yeah, Jim's seen something in him as well. We've got something to build on. A couple of ropey games to start with. You always thought it was a bedding in period. Things would take time. And it never really worked for him. You know, he gave away a couple of loose balls in possession that were punished for, gave away a few penalties. He was then hooked, I think it was three games in a row, about the hour mark, under Jim. So, yeah, I think from a poorer signing of the season, I think with the experience and the hype that I thought he would bring, unfortunately for me, it's Paul.
And he got sent off against Dumbarton in the League Cup as well. I know it's a League Cup game, but it's that would have been his third game for the club or something at that time. And it really wasn't the best start. And it just seems to be that he just really hasn't kicked on at all. He looks like a player who is shown his age, if you like.
Yeah, I certainly think it's a man bereft of confidence as well. That goes throughout the team. But just thinking after the first, I think from the red card at Dumbarton, he never really sort of struggled. I wouldn't say it's the pace of the game, but I certainly do think, like you said, that his age maybe just slightly catching up on him. There is a lot of younger, faster strikers in the league now, so that's maybe had an impact on him as well. Still think he's got that wealth of experience he can pass on, but it's maybe just nay from the playing side of things.
I've picked out two. I mean, it was difficult to narrow it down to two. But I looked at two guys who are no longer with the club, actually. That's Kazuka and Adeyemo. I think the two of them, it just obviously didn't work out at all. Or not either side. It didn't work on the field. It certainly didn't work for them both off the field. But when we talk about the recruitment, and those two signings are ones that you just felt, though, that they were just exactly that. They were just signed for the sake of bringing in players and make sure that we could have some kind of team on the field. And the fact that they're both no longer in the club, again, just tells you all you need to know in terms of the standards. I know Cristiano's is down to sort of personal reasons and, you know, not being able to commit to the club as much, but it's still that you would have liked to have thought that kind of things would have been looked at prior to him coming along at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, certainly players that I think were brought in to fill numbers, fill gaps, unfortunately. If you kind of commit to the club, I think Davies done the right thing. It's time to go. He only wants players that are going to be committed. I think Ola, it's a difficult one because I think there might have been something there. I use the term loosely. I think there might have been some sort of quality within him. It just never really happened. He probably was one of them players that was struggling without a striker up along with him. I don't think he's a focal point or a number nine, but I certainly think if he had somebody weigh him, there might have been something. But yeah, it's two players that have now left. But yeah, very poor recruitment. That goes back to the summertime and, you know, a raft of players coming in that have just not quite hit the mark so far.
And there might be folk listening to this and they'll be thinking, well, what about the likes of Prince or Scullion or Cody McLeod and things like that? The cut and thrust of it is, the hard truth is, we just haven't seen enough of them. That's not the player's fault. That's just the way that the team selection has been. And so we can't really say that they've been a poor signing because we just haven't seen enough of them to justify, well, are they a poor signing or are they not?
Yeah, if you've got limited evidence on show, it's difficult to make an informed opinion. I mean, I'll go back to Mats Gillis. He was brilliant from right back up until he got the concussion. And he's never, you know, never got back in the squad. So, I mean, are you basing him as being a good signing because he got two goals from right back area and had two good performances, or do you decide that he's not a good performer because he's hardly gotten in the team again? It's difficult to base an opinion just on a couple of games. But yeah, there are certain players that we just kind of see nearly enough of, because it goes back to the lack of substitutes during game, which we've touched on a few times already.
The next one, best goal. There's only 10 to choose from this season, so, and again, it wouldn't be that difficult to narrow it down. Although I do think I've probably seen how this one will go. Which one of Conor O'Keefe's goal have you selected?
Well, it's funny you should say that because it is a Conor O'Keefe goal. Yeah, I think it was the second one, just inside our half, closest to where we would sit in the stand. Pinged it over the keeper, and he tried it a few times in that game. To be fair, I kind of got one slightly closer, but he did it a few times. It's maybe something that he looked at, that the keeper likes to come off his line. He just said, not many goals to choose from, but yeah, it's got to be a Conor O'Keefe goal for me.
Yeah, I've gone that one as well, but it's worth noting that his first goal in that game as well was the the chip from inside the 6 yard box when somehow managed to dink it over the keeper yeah. from inside the area. So it kind of goes back to what we were saying about, you know, Conor Achieve's performances at that time were pretty good, but obviously the injury has affected him, and he just really hasn't gotten back to that performance level again.
No, but having said that, we came that there is, you know, he's got that ability within him. He can chip somebody for 6 yards. He can take a long range effort. He's also done his homework in a keeper. So if you can get him fit for the second half of the season again, it'll be so cliche, but it might be like a new signing.
Yeah, and his goal doing at Clyde as well was pretty decent as well. So one for the well for range for the 18 yard 8 yard box as well. So you know he's capable of it, but I just haven't seen enough of it.
No, once you get the consistency, hopefully from him, hopefully with Davey, he'll be able to bring that out. Russell McLean coming back as well could be a partnership up top. We've seen it last year with Nia Payne and Russell McLean that you know they worked well. Could we get the same with Connor and Russell? You know, time will tell. Hopefully in January.
This one might be the most difficult one. Best moment, any moments so far? It's been a standout for you.
Best moment is probably leaving after the Celtic game with a win. I still don't think it took us off bottom of the table though. I think we just drew level on points at the bottom. But yeah, just that sense of a victory. You know, just actually winning a game of football had been so long since we'd sort of done it. Yeah, so probably the best moment would probably be that one.
I kind of struggled to pick one out, but I would say that the worst moment was realising that the price of the beer was up, and then we earned £3 for a pint.
You've never let that go, have you?
We keep saying we used to go here with a tenner and still come back. We change, but we kind of get that though.
No, unfortunately not.
I have to pay with card because I don't have to do when I take a tenner.
Cash? What's cash?
Exactly. Best player this season so far, in your opinion, who's been the best player? Who's been the standout player so far?
Well, I slightly amended it when you said the best player. I've gone for the player that I felt had mostly improved. And I think Danny Strachan has come on leaps and bounds to what we've seen last season. Now, Akinyi's playing time was very limited last season for various reasons. But I just think he's now enjoying his football again, and it shows. The other couple of weeks back, he played in about 7 different positions apart from playing the goalkeeping role. He's very adaptable. He's got a good engine on him. He'll get up and doing that wing. And I think for most improved player, it'd probably be him. I think if you're going for out-and-out best player this season, I think Jason Brown's maturity. You mentioned that a couple of weeks back as well. I think it's been difficult for the defence, but I think that also shows where we're at as a team, that if you're looking for a best player, we're bottom of the league and you're picking out 2 defenders, I think that's a massive indictment as well.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with both them there as well. Danny, first of all, I mean, he works hard for the team on and off the park as well, as we've noted before. And yeah, you're right. He seems to be playing with a bit of confidence that he obviously didn't have last season, mainly because he just wasn't playing. Where the season before, when he was playing, he was, you know, a different player again. And obviously, the issues that he had last season, which is a different topic of conversation altogether. But he's overcame that. He's stuck around and he's playing well. And he's noticed that he's playing a little bit further forward as well. And seems to be adapting to that role as well, instead of just playing as an out-and-out right-back.
Yeah, and I think we're benefiting from it. I think, I don't know whether it was a tactic that Jim wanted to use. I think when Max Gillis was at right-back a couple of weeks, he was getting further forward. Then Danny came into the squad and he was almost allowed that exposure to try and go forward, try and be getting involved in the final third and pitch. And I think Danny's took our role on really well. As you said, there's a lot of work out with the club as well, within the community. And that, you know, these things kind of go unnoticed. So he's had a good season, but you're wanting a wee bit more from everyone to try and get us out of this really difficult position.
And Jason, we know what we're going to get for Jason. His level of consistency is just so far and away, I think, better than what we've got anywhere else. But I also think as well, once Andy McCarthy's had a run of games, obviously he had a lengthy injury, I think once he's playing regularly and got his fitness back up again, I think he will show that sort of level of consistency as well. We know what he can bring to the table as well. And I think as well, once Rusty is playing regularly again as well, and he's over his injuries, we can see him being consistent as well. So those three players, I think the second half of the season, are going to be vital for us in terms of how we can get out of this situation that we're in. And they will be the, you would think, would be the spine of the team.
Yeah, they're the three players who you think would be the catalyst to try and get out of this bottom of the table position. I think, like you said, once Andy's fully fit, I'll take a couple of weeks, but I think we'll be... We looked better in midfield when he came back in his first game already. Just his experience at this level, he sort of canes the club, he canes the team. Okay, there's been numerous amount of players coming in, but he'll have still been around the training, around the gym and everything. So once he's back and fully fit, along with Russell McLean, I'll go back to let these three players win a change where season, but they'll certainly give us the catalyst to try and propel up the table.
And generally it's me kind of these picks up these kind of things. Jason and Jordan both had milestones after the last game. Jason now played 200 games for Peterhead. Jordan's now got 300 games in his entire career. We missed that milestone. We missed that post. I did put it out the beginning of the week, I think it was. So that's a personal apology from me to them. But again, it just shows you that the consistency that these two guys have got, and how important that these two can be for the club going forward.
Yeah, and I think we'll see Jordan playing a lot more in the second half of the season. Like I said, I think I maybe said it last week or the week before, I think Hen Jordan, who's within the coaching team on the pitch, I think it'll give you that. Messages will get across quicker, and the ideas will come through a little bit quicker and what they're wanting to happen. So I certainly think if you've got Jason's consistency, the back constantly improving, and Jordan getting more game time, things might start to pick up.
Yeah, so before we go on to the next game, which is on Christmas Eve against FC Edinburgh or Edinburgh City or just Edinburgh, whatever it is they are calling themselves these days. We mentioned the sort of points gaps and things like that we've got now. So I was looking at the sort of last 10 seasons in terms of points to get to the various positions within the within League One. Because it didn't account the two COVID seasons because they're obviously a bit of an anomaly. But if you look at the average points, so if you look at average points for the last 10 years to get to 8th, you're looking at 39.3 points. So we'll say 40 points to get to 8th. So obviously that's looking at 33 points for us. to get that, which is
we're going to hit some second half of the season.
I was going to say that's 11 wins, but that also means that Kelty and Queen of the South have to have absolute stinkers in the second half. Even if we can get 11 wins out of the 18 games that's left.
Yeah, that's not happening, is it, really? Being realistic, there's no way you're getting 11 wins out of 18 in the second half of the season, compiled with Kelty and Queen's in a really, really bad, rotten second half of the season. I think it's basically a playoff now between us and Clyde, in that ninth position.
The lowest points that somebody's had in going eighth was 34, which, again, is probably... too far away, and you know you're talking about 27 points there, which is another sort of nine wins for the second half of the season. Which I mean, in all likelihood, eighth is probably too far our reach now.
Yeah, I think they getting beat 3-0 by Kelty 2 weeks ago, I think that was the final nail in the coffin, the fact that we got 8 points, Kelty also got the three, and now Kelty's won again yesterday. I just think it's, you know, it's the gap's too big.
So ninth position then, ninth and tenth positions is the ones we're looking at. The average points for ninth position is 34.7, so we'll look at 35. Tenth, the average is 29.7, 30 points. So there's about 5 points of difference. So if you're looking at 35 points to get to ninth position, it's probably a little bit more doable if you like. Well, it has to be doable because that's the only way we do it, really. So you're looking at around about another 27 points to get out of there. So again, you're looking at your 9 wins.
It's a really tall order, is it, to try and get 9 wins second half of the season? I think the game against Clyde, when we do get the rearranged fixture, I think it's going to be massive. I thought it was going to be a big game on Saturday. I think it'll be even bigger when it does come round.
Yeah.
There'll be more games played in between then as well. You know, we might lose to Edinburgh and then Clyde might win. Then that opens up a bigger gap. But we've just got to focus on ourselves and we've got to try and pick out wins where we can.
That's going to be the key thing, is the 3 games we've got against them. We did draw 2-2 down there, having been 2-0 down. So you would probably say that's a decent point to pick up. However, the next 3 games against them are going to be huge. But we have to then start picking up points elsewhere as well. We can't just sort of rely on Clyde to continue on this really bad run that they're on and losing game after game after game, because they'll pick up a point or two here and there as well. So yes, those 3 games against Clyde will be massive, but it's also picking up points where we can elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, there's no point beating Clyde if you're going to lose every other game that you play. You will not finish ninth if that's the way the second half of the season goes. I think Clyde and Peterhead have got a big January coming up. How do they see the... Do Clyde hate aspirations of catching Kelty and try to get a few recruits in? You know, we've got to do something. I think Davey said he was already looking at players coming in. I think it was maybe Roger actually in the press the other week saying they'd already got targets lined up for January for coming in. Few players have left. Like I said, I think there'll be a few more that'll go start a January window to allow for a bit of budget to be freed up for more players to come in. And I'll be interested to see where we're at come the end of January with the recruitment side of things, and you know, where we're at performance wise as well.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, Kelty and Queen of the South are probably okay. 3-4 wins for them in the second half will probably be enough for them. I mean, it is possible that they could go on a really bad run. You look at the run that Clyde and Peterhead have been on. It is possible. How likely is that? It's probably unlikely. But as you said, we'll look at ninth. Ninth is the position that we need to try and achieve now. And then at least it gives us a second chance to try and stay up.
I think whilst it's possible that Clyde... Kelty or Queenshead could have a poor run, I just didn't see Peterhead or Clyde putting together the opposite sort of run to cause them any sort of problem. I think that's probably the difference. I think they've just got enough in the bank. Can Clyde start the season well? I think after 4 games or sitting second, 10 points or something, and that they've plummeted right down the table, maybe 7 points it was, and they've plummeted right down the table, found themselves in the position they're at now, very difficult, but I just kind of see Kelty or Queen of the South Hain as bigger drop off.
And if we can get on a run that we're talking about, you know, 11 wins, 12 wins, whatever it is we're talking about, if we can get that and we can survive, I mean, Jesus, Davey needs to get the freedom of the city, the freedom of the tune there and then. Just give him a job for life.
I mean, you try and look at it for positives. I guess, you know, was it mid-March, we were in a really poor run last season. And there were 6 games with 4 wins and 2 draws. So, I mean, the form can change. You can get, you know, it just takes 1 win for confidence to come through and you can start to move on. But I think the team that we've got now is completely different, obviously, to what we had, you know, back in March. And you're looking for Davey to bring in a few recruits to improve us.
So the upturn, if you like, starts on Christmas Eve against FC Edinburgh. Away from home, it is a 2:00 kickoff. It has been brought forward by an hour, randomly. I don't know why. It's just an hour.
I don't know what difference that hour is going to make, in all honesty. A lot of the games, I think, are Friday night.
A lot of the games have been moved. I know all the Championship games have been moved to the Friday, I think due to the TV aspect of it. There's a few League One games that have been moved to the Friday. Some of the League Two games have been moved and played already, so they didn't have to play that game on Christmas Eve. There is a bit of a rumour that this game was supposed to be moved as well, but various different parties if I forgot to send the memo to the SPFL or whatever. So I know an hour probably doesn't make any difference. It's certainly didn't make
any difference.
If they
made it 12 o'clock.
Aye, yeah, exactly.
12 o'clock I could understand, but moving it from 3 till 2, the floodlights are still going to be on. So yeah. it can't be like a cost of living, you know, the energy saving thing. Yeah. It's not going to be that. The floodlights will still be on. I really don't get it, but hey ho.
So, as I said, away from home, down to Edinburgh, they are sitting second. We keep saying every time we play them, they are surprises, and they continue to surprise us. They're still sitting second, 3 points behind Dunfermline, 3 points ahead of Falkirk, but obviously Falkirk's game was called off on Saturday as well. It's just a game that we almost write off like we have already. In terms of, you know, going away from home to like said Dunfermline or Falkirk and things like that, or is this a game that we need to start with, picking up the points?
It's weird because normally I would say it's one of them you write off away to second, but we're now, you know, we're halfway through the season. I don't know how many more games we can write off before we start thinking, right, this becomes must win. I don't think Edinburgh away from home is a must win game, but I think if you compile it with a Clyde win as well, it then become, you know, it looks a lot worse than what it maybe is. But we played well against Edinburgh Dune there a couple of months back, right up until the last 10 minutes, and then we conceded. So, I mean, it's I don't think we'll get, you know, well beaten in the game. I think it'll still be a conservative approach. It'll still be well disciplined. But I certainly think it's a game that David maybe should be looking to try and get a point from.
The fact that we've after that game, we have a month where we've got Montrose and Airdrie at home, followed by Dunfermline away, and then Queen of the South at home. It's a big month, January. So you don't want to almost be coming into this one if Clyde have picked up anything, you know, 3 points behind them, 4 points behind, or 5 points, I should say, behind them before you go into those really hard games in January.
Yeah, I mean, we've just come through a horrible run in November, game-wise, and we're away going to, you know, equally as difficult in January, given the position that we're in. It basically, to me, it comes down to the recruitment. How early can Davy get players in? Now, I can that they've already identified targets and they've made contact with certain clubs and players. It's how quick can you get them in? How quick can you get them into the training and you know, try and see improvement? I don't think there'll be anybody in for the Montrose game the 2nd of January. But I don't think the SFA are back till about the 3rd or 4th for registration rules anyway. There'll be no one new in come then. So you're then looking at the week after. Is a week, you know, much time to do anything? Probably not. But, you know, you're hoping that Davy can try and get a better performance with the players that we've got and you know, try and do something in the meantime.
The fact that it's been 3 weeks since we've played, the Celtic game was the last one. Obviously, no game the week after. The Clyde game was postponed on Saturday. So it's been 3 weeks since we've played. You could look at that in two ways. How do you kind of look at that in terms of, you know, the players, and will that be a help? Will it be a hindrance?
Well, I think the players' point of view are probably more of a hindrance. 3 weeks without a game, you know, that's difficult. I think Davy will be hugely frustrated as well. He came in the Celtic game, didn't make too many changes tactical wise, and he'd have been raring to get it stuck in at the training sessions and get going. But obviously, we have not played since. On the flip side, it gives him more time to get his message through, what he wants them to do, these tactical changes, how they can be implemented. We know he's big on data analysts and looking at videos. So whilst there's no matches for him to know, look at, you can probably look at the video analysis of where it's gone wrong and say, right, this is what I want you to now do. So there's pros and cons for it. It would have just been good to have had the Clyde game, a home game for you know, a first home game as well. I think going away to Edinburgh is going to be a tough game. And again, it's another game where he probably wants us to. There's not an easy game, but I don't think there's many worse to go to than away to Edinburgh at the moment.
You could also look at it and say that, like, say, Russell McLean, for example, having been out, managed to come back against the Kelly, he's now has another, that's another 2 or 3 weeks that he's had to recover and get a bit more fitness going, without us really losing any more sort of game, if you like. However, there's no sort of substitute for match fitness in getting more games. So I think the players will be chomping at the bit to get playing again, and I think that might just work in our favour a little bit.
I think that there's also the, you could mention that you're a week closer to January for getting recruits in. I'm going on about it, but the club has already mentioned they've identified targets, so they're fully aware that recruitment isn't been as good as it has been in previous years. So they know that there's going to be folk coming in. So again, it's, although it's another game that will be rearranged with the Clyde game, it's one of them where you think, well, it's another game where if you've got new recruits in, they could make the difference. And, you know, you're speaking fine margins in football, that could be, you know, crucial come the end of April.
Yeah, and it's, again, it's all about sort of fine margins and how these things are going to go. Edinburgh, as I said, flying high, they're doing well. At some point, we just have to start picking up these wins. I mean, the Kelty game, which we said before, it was 3-0. It was an absolute disaster of a game. It wasn't the game that we would have hoped for. But that's now been, what, a month by the time this game comes around that he's had them training. So you'd like to think that those things that he's trying to implement will have gotten through to them by now.
I certainly think by, you know, when we come round to Saturday's game, I think there'll be a marked improvement on what we've seen at Kelty. I think he'll have gotten his message through loud and clear. We came that Davies now a quiet man. He'll be making it very well known that he wasn't happy. And this is what we've got to do, in his opinion, to try and change things. And I'm pretty sure he'll realise the characters that he's got now, folk that are maybe hiding slightly, or those that are taking the challenge on with both arms and willing to, you know, take it on head on, and that's going to be crucial, because he's already got rid of two folk for various reasons, and I'm sure he's pretty quick to wield the axe. If there's folk that don't want to be here, he'll quickly move them on in January.
Just another wee point to kind of pick up on. Clyde will play on the Friday night at home to Alloa, and then they play on Hogmanay as well. So their next two games, they will be playing
before us. Yeah.
So, you know, it's now, so you're almost sort of going into those games knowing, right, okay, Clyde have won, we need to then have to win. That's a little bit more pressure. Or, you know, if Alloa get a victory, it's a case of, right, we've got a game in hand here. If we win that, we're above them. And then going into the next one, the following week, when they're playing on the Hogmanay away to Queen of the South, which is obviously a team that we're sort of trying to catch, you know, that
yeah.
it's a little thing, but you know, we'll obviously be keeping an eye on them, and I'm sure the players will be keeping an eye on those results the day before as well.
It's a psychological factor, I guess. The only positive you could take from it is you know the score before you play. So you're not going to be sitting at 1-1 against Edinburgh and thinking, right, do we stick or do we twist? You'll know the score from the night before. It's the same the following week when we play Montrose. We'll know the score from the Clyde game. So it's small things, but, you know, if they've got a win against Alloa and then we come up and play Edinburgh, and you know that Clyde's won, and then you lose, that's when it becomes, you know, a massive psychological factor in the game.
Yeah, it just adds a little bit more pressure onto a game that is a big game for us anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's things that you can almost be dealing without. There's enough things going against us at the moment, through, that's mainly through our own making, it must be said. But it's these little psychological factors that you can really be dealing without.
Yeah, and as I said, I think wins are now the key thing. Okay, maybe picking up a point might be a good enough, but as I said, you know, Clyde playing the day before, it's a big game for us as we look into what will hopefully be a better new year.
Yeah, I certainly think wins is now massively important, but if somebody says to me you'll get a point away to Edinburgh on Saturday, I would certainly take it. I think it's one of them picking your battles. Yeah, I think squad selection is going to be crucial as well. You know, do you stick or twist in a difficult away game, or do you put your eggs in one basket for a so-called weaker team at home? You know, these are all things that Davy's got to weigh up in the new year.
So we wait with anticipation to see how that one goes. But 2022 is almost at an end for us. It is an end, as I said. We're going to take a wee break, as we normally do at this stage. So 2022, Martin, it's safe to say it's been a year of two halves, really. as we sort of ended the campaign last year, we were quite looking forward to the start of the new season. And then it's just been an absolute disaster from basically game one, really. And it's been a really weird year as a whole for the club.
Yeah, I remember sitting down with you at the end of the season last year. We did a recording, we chatted off air about how positive things looked. We'd come through a rocky period, January, February. We'd gotten out of a sticky situation. 4 wins and 2 draws kept ourselves up, and we really did think if we can add some quality into this team and get a wee bit more consistency, then you're looking at more likely promotion playoffs more than anything, and getting a solid base. And then, you know, I think the departure of Simon Ferry in the summer was absolutely massive. You seen the players leaving thereafter. It's not just due to Simon leaving, but, you know, he was such an important figure on the pitch and off the pitch. The recruitment, for one reason or another, just has not been as good as what it was previously. Again, there's various factors within that as well. A team on the pitch, it really isn't gelled. There's been too many players, difficult to get consistency. The quality's not quite been there when you're signing in amateur players and strikers that have been without a club for 3 months. It sort of tells you where you're at as a club. But yeah, very, very difficult 2022, but you're hoping for a vast improvement going into the new year.
Yeah, and it resulted in a manager leaving that we genuinely didn't think was going to be leaving anytime soon. And himself and Davy Nix have left. So we now look to 2023 as almost like a fresh start. You know, we've got a new management team in. Hopefully the Edinburgh game goes ahead, and that'll be, he's only had two games under his belt to play. So it's almost like a complete fresh start for everybody. It's a new year, and it's a fresh start for the club. It's a fresh start for the players and under a new management team as well.
Yeah, I think it's important they get caught up in end of January as well. Say Davy has brought in a couple of players, it's important to remember this is a Davy team. It was came for Jim previously. So it's going to take more than one January transfer window to try and sort this. I'm not saying that we're right off the season, far from it, but we need to see improvement. But it's also important to remember that it was Jim's signings. He's a manager who's here for 11 years. There's a lot that will change within the club over the next couple of weeks and months. But like you said, you're hoping for a brighter 2023 than what we've had so far in 2022.
Certainly can't get any worse, can it?
Let's see if Edinburgh score is on Saturday, and then we'll decide.
Well, Martin, as ever, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat all things Peterhead for another calendar year. Wish you well, and you and your family hope to have a good Christmas, and we'll obviously see you over the festive period at some point, hopefully, as we get back to kind of normality.
Yeah, likewise, Collins, mate. It's been good chatting. Obviously, slightly different today, Dean, on a Sunday. But, yeah, it's been a difficult season, but I do look forward to chatting on a Monday. Sort of any grievances and rants that we've got, we sort of get them out there. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but, you know, we try and get by. So wish you and the family well, and hopefully see you in the new year.
And joining me now for the last time of the year is Edinburgh City supporter, or FC Edinburgh, whatever they are called this week, supporter Neil Backwin again. How are you?
I'm good, mate, I'm good. I can tell by there's a lack of confidence in your voice to say this will be the last time we're playing each other.
Well, the funny thing is, we're not actually playing each other again until April. Which seems like a long gap,
really?
Before we play each other again, but I think it's just the way the fixtures have worked out.
it's a long time. It seems like it's been quite condensed. It feels like I'm speaking to you quite often.
I speak to you more than I speak to my wife sometimes. Anyway, how are you? How are things? Looking forward to the festive period?
I'm good, thanks. It's good. It's chilled out. It's kind of weird we're having a World Cup on, isn't it? Or just finished sort of thing. So it's kind of everybody a wee break and you're ready to get back into it, watching whatever parts of the football you want to watch. And I was at Tynecastle at the weekend, so which was a bit different. And then I'll be at the game on Saturday. I'll be at Meadowbank to watch City playing at Peterhead on Saturday. So that'll be good. It's nice to get back into it just as a festive period.
Yeah.
You're used to the whole three or four a game every 3 days or something, aren't you? So it's probably no good for the players, but as a fan, it's not. I keep saying it.
Aye, it's good. It's I think that's the beauty of football in this country is you've got that festive period and you've got game after game after game you can watch.
Yeah, definitely. So really looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And it'll be interesting to see what Saturday's game. It's good. It's nice. It's a Saturday. It's 2 o'clock. Plenty of time. You know, I don't mind the 2 o'clock. Different if it was only 11:30 or something. It rocks the whole day, doesn't it? So it'll be good. Nice to get back to a Saturday afternoon football.
And you're still doing well. You've beaten us once. You've drawn against us up at Balmoor as well. So you'll be hoping to carry on that unbeaten run against us.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done pretty well. I mean, I was speaking to a few boys over the weekend, and a couple of guys at the game on Saturday, and drew 2-2. You know, apart from really losing the cup game against Drumchapel, which, if you've seen the pitch, I think if it was rugby that was getting played on it, it would have been called off, never mind anything else. But you still got to go and play, though, you know. But apart from that, the guys have done really, really well. You look at the full-time teams, Falkirk, Dunfermline, you know, Airdrie are pretty much full-time now, aren't they, as well? So, but they've done pretty well against everybody else. They're holding their own. You know, the whole bounce to getting promoted, it kind of brings that momentum, doesn't it? There's not massive changes for last year. The boy Craigan they've got in from the boy from Arbroath, the boy that's he's playing right back, although he's probably more of a wide midfielder, but he's been playing right back and stuff. So these guys have settled down really, really well. But Keegan Jacobs played at a higher level than that as well. So, they've done really, really well. And I think that we're talking about, I can't remember who they said at the weekend, but the manager was talking about there's a team that's always been in or around the promotion in the playoffs. If you've roughly got about 30 points at that point, you know, you're doing well. And getting there, you know, just looking at the league table, like 4 points off them. I know they've played a game more, but I think everybody, you'd have bit your hand off at that point if that was the script, you know, if they were 4 points off them firm, or 4 points off top of the league. It's a great achievement. I was at Sunny Meadowbank on Friday night as well to watch Leith Athletic. They play there and we just caught a game with a guy I used to work with. He does something called Terrace Trails. He just goes about lower leagues and watches games and stuff. And he was saying that he's like, football's maybe very pragmatic. It's maybe not colourful in the eye, but you've got to remember it's the level of football it is, you know, and it's very much to get up and at it. And, you know, at least, you know, the busts are gut for the manager and for the supporters. So it's good to watch.
Yeah, and I guess all the things going on and the hard work and things, they're reaping the rewards by sitting second in the table at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. I think the only concern would maybe be is they maybe need one or two more, but I can imagine every manager in the league would probably say that. And you've got to remember it's League One and not Premier League. Even some of the Premier League managers will want one or two more and they might not get them, you know, so with budgets and everything. So it's been good to see the odd, you know, under 20 player make the bench and that as well. That was one criticism that we had to Gary Naismith was you never seen progression from these guys getting into the first team. You know, you've certainly seen it under Mabry. You've seen it under James McDonald and James there before as well. So, but yeah, they're definitely reaping the rewards. So you can see the difference in guys like, say, your Danny Hanlon's, UZCs and stuff like that, who have been there for a long time now, and who's in his second spell at the club that. he's maybe just working with different managers or different management, different coaches. And that's not to say that, you know, they didn't enjoy working under James or Gary or what they'd done. You know, Gary got usually back to the club, but they seem to be getting a tune out of them in a different way. And Danny seems to have found a different level, which is good, which is nice to see. And you've still got a few of the older guys that have been there for promotion, you know, for last year and that as well, that's doing really well. So, it's good, and you can tell that these guys know they should probably be at that level. Maybe they think they should be higher up, but they're certainly holding their own just now and doing really well.
If the game goes ahead, which I'm assuming it will do, it'll be 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks since we've played a game last. So, do you kind of look at that and think that's going to work against us, or do you think that's maybe something because we've got that little bit extra time to almost recover from what has been a really bad run?
I think it'll depend on, you know, you guys, and you'll tell me better, that if you guys have maybe got loads of injuries and stuff, and it's maybe helped, you know, getting a wee break or maybe help you at times. If your freshness, it just depends on whether the guys are going to be really sharp, you know, in between. I don't imagine there'll be many, although they maybe had, or maybe organised a closed door friendly or something like that to help them out in midweek in between. I certainly prefer that if your team's playing or your team started to play rather than all these call-offs. So it might give us a slight edge, to be brutally honest, because of the whole, you know, you're just that wee bit match sharper. You maybe just get to the ball that wee bit quicker. But then again, you know, like you're saying, we could maybe do one or two extra, and it's whether it's probably going to have the flip side of it. But I think at this point, I think it'll probably work in City's favour.
And do you think there's a possibility that because we've got a new manager as well, that might just bring something on, something else for you guys, Alan, maybe to kind of look at and think, well, it's obviously got a different Peterhead side, it's a different setup now, it's something different to kind of look at.
Yeah, definitely, and it's probably in a good way, you know, the unknown, but how much can he change in a short period of time? It's probably a good time for him because he'll know that he's coming in to go, right, I've got so many weeks before January. I know he's not going to have maybe masses amount to spend or whatever, but he's maybe able to get rid of a few and bring in a few of his own, and he's going to know that. So probably those 2 or 3 weeks has helped him. You know, not having a game, although he would have probably liked one quicker than that, but you're right in what you're saying. You know, it's a bit of the unknown, which will be, but it's how much he's really, really going to change. But you would expect a manager bounce, you would expect him to be up for it, and, you know, and have a go at least, you know, and at least make, you know, if City do win, at least make them fight for it, you know, and not they're down tools, so to speak, because everybody will be, it's a weird phrase, everybody's playing for their job, but everybody always does that anyway, you know, but probably more so now if a new manager comes in, especially with the window coming round the corner.
Yeah, and I think the last game up at Balmoor here, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it was the best Edinburgh performance, and I think it was because of a goalkeeping error that you've managed to get that equaliser. So there is that kind of possibility that if you aren't playing 100% or at your top level, you could be dropping points.
Yeah, exactly. And I think for me, I think if everybody sees that for City, if you get into this league and you stay in this league, that's fine, it's a successful season. So, and I know now where they are, though, like everybody will, they'll probably sit down every other week or every month and have a meeting and go, well, we're here now, we want to stay here, how are we going to do it? But you're right in what you said. I think the league's very competitive. Certainly, you know, it's in the championships the same. It's always two, to be fair. Teams can be, you can see some of the teams change in League Two, and they didn't really, personnel didn't maybe change as much from year to year. But, you know, if you get a few runs of a good results under your belt, or it goes the other way, you know, as you guys are seeing at the moment, it can work for you. But you're right, you need to be right at it. I think your new manager will certainly have that. I've been making my way through Welcome to Wrexham for the boys down with Ryan Reynolds and that Rebecca Lane. And there's a bit of tongue-in-cheek in it, but they talk about when they get Phil Parkinson, and they talk about, they didn't realise how enthusiastic it was. But when he does one of his team talks, it's they have a ticker for every time he swears. So I think I can imagine David Robertson being very similar after watching a couple of his documentaries. You know? So,
he's certainly got that reputation.
Never swear. It does, you know. And with the, yeah, was it the York Ashmere he done, wasn't it? So he comes across as a humble man, you know, and a guy that people will be infectious and want to play for. So yeah. I can imagine he will get a tune out of what he needs.
Final question then, a slightly different final question than what we normally give you. We've been having a discussion about celebration sweeties and how the bounty cutter fails. Where do you stand on a bounty? Are you a fan or do you think they should be in the bin?
No, I'm not a fan. I think they could categorically go right in the bin for me. I'm not a fan. If somebody gave me a box of those for Christmas, I would need to really put my poker face on and accept that and then hand them out probably at the office just to the team and say, look guys, does anybody want them? Take them from there.
Well, on that note then, Neil, appreciate your time once again. Wish you well over Christmas period and over the new year. Hope you have a good one, safe one as well, and we'll catch up again, no doubt, in the new year.
Brilliant, Colin. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
No problem. Cheers. That is it for this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks to Neil from the Citizen Supporters podcast for coming on once again, and to Martin Smith for being with me as always. That is it for us for 2022. Thank you again for your support over the last 12 months. We do appreciate it. We'll be back again at some point in the new year. I've been Colin Byers, and whatever you're doing over the festive period, enjoy yourselves, and we'll see you in 2023.